So the Yushalmi, in the second paragraph of Chagiga, tells this fascinating story about Rabbi Meir and Acher. And I just wanted to mention before we really get started that different people had very different perspectives on Elisha ben Avuya from beginning to end. Rabbi Meir was, and this is a whole story in of itself, Rabbi Meir was given a very hard time by his colleagues about the fact that he continued to have ties with his old Rebbe, Elisha ben Avuya, after he went off the dark. It wasn't a simple thing. I think it's fair to say that how people would interpret the end of the story, meaning, did Elisha ben Avuya do tshuva, did he not do tshuva, remains somewhat of an open question. And one could interpret a lot of the pieces along the way, although fundamentally it's the same point, but in opposite directions. Meaning, you can look at it from a pessimistic point of view, and you can look at it from an optimistic point of view. You can say, this is the story of how Elisha ben Avuya does tshuva. You can look at it as a story of, this is how Elisha ben Avuya failed to do tshuva, right? This is the opportunity that he missed. You can be looked at both ways. So please bear with me. Whatever we're going to say, you can really say either way, and the point, the essential point of what we're going to discuss is really the same either way, but I can't do it both ways at the same time, and it's going to be a little bit tedious if we go through the whole thing twice. So for the sake of simplicity, if nothing else, I'm going to go through everything in one direction, and you can interpolate from one side to the other at your leisure. If you allow me, I'm going to take the optimistic point of view that Elisha ben Avuya does do tshuva. Okay? But it doesn't fundamentally change things very much in terms of what we're going to discuss one way or the other. Rabbi Meir Havayativ Darish Beit Midrasha Ditveria. So, Shabbos, probably Shabbos morning, Rabbi Meir is giving the drasha in the Great Beis Medrash of Tveria. Right there they are in Shol, Shabbos morning. He's giving this drasha, this shir. And Avar Elisha Rabbe Rachiv Al Susya B'yom Shuvta. So there comes Elisha ben Avuya, his Rebbe, riding along on his horse on Shabbos. Atim V'amrin Le. So people came to Rabbi Meir and said to him, Harabach Levar, your Rebbe is outside. Now, we already, at this point, have the double meaning, right? The two tiers of understanding. On the one hand, Rabach Levar is a simple geographical statement. Right, Meir, your Rebbe's outside. Maybe you want to go greet him. But of course, Levar, outside, has another connotation, right? Meaning that we would say, you know, he is... Right? Exactly. He's, you know, he's off the derech. He's outside of the realm of, you know, of observant Jews, etc. And of course, they are making a comment on the fact, you know, Rabbi Meir, that's your Rebbe there on a, you know, riding in front of Shul on Shabbos. Look, what's going on? Right? So, possibly Mindrasha Venafik Lagabe. So, are we raising your hand? Or just, no. Okay. So, anyhow, so Rabbi Meir stops. He goes out to greet his Rebbe. Number two. Amale Mahavita Darish Yomadein. So Elisha ben Avuya greets him like a fellow rabbi and says, what were you saying in your drasha today? So Amale, Rabbi Meir responds, Vashem Beirach et Acharit Yob Mereshito. He says that I was discussing the pasuk of how at the end of Sefer Iyov it says that Hashem blessed the end of Iyov's life. The end of Iyov's life was greater than the beginning. In other words, you know the story of Iyov, I assume, that Iyov, you know, was this very wealthy and fortunate person, was blessed with everything, and then that's the very beginning of the Sefer, then he suffers all these terrible losses and suffering, and physical, in terms of his family, in terms of his wealth, everything, and he's in dire straits, and at the end of the Sefer, he is in a better situation than he was in the beginning. So, Elisha ben Avuya asks him, Uma patre bey? We already discussed this before, what that means. Pachol yoter. So Amale said, I interjected the following pasuk. Vayosef Hashem ekol asher liyov l'mishneh, shekafalo kol mamono. Said, I interpret as he was twice wealthy in the end. Now understand, what is Rabbi Meir trying to push? What idea does Rabbi Meir continually try to push throughout this whole Yerushalmi? What's he trying to tell Elisha ben Avuya? Yes? That you can still do tshuva and what? You can have a great end of your life. Okay, maybe, you know, there was a period when you had this stellar beginning, then you had this great downfall, but you know, the end can be, you can come back. There's always room for a comeback. You can always come back and have a great finish. Right? The end of your life could be better than anything that you've had so far. So says Elisha ben Avuya, Vay demovdim v'lo mishkachin, right, means, it's an expression, means like, woe for those that we've lost and we, you know, we don't find anymore. They're not around anymore. Meaning, we would say probably something like, you know, they don't make them like they used to, right? We don't have people like we used to. Rabbi Akiva, he explained it differently. Akiva Rabach, your Rabbi Akiva, lohave darish kain. That's not how he was darish it. Ella says Elisha ben Avuya, what Rabbi Akiva say? Vashem beirach et acharit Iyov meireshito. Meireshito, he interpreted not as more than his beginning, that the end was better than the beginning, and the mem is a relative, right, it's a comparative, but rather he said meireshito, from his beginning, right, as a result of his beginning. Bizchut mitzvot ma'asim tovim shaya biyado meireshito. So Elisha ben Avuya, in contrast to Rabbi Meir, is pushing a different approach, which is, it has to be good from beginning to end, right? If it's not good all along, there's no hope. In other words, Rabbi Meir, leave me alone, don't bother me, stop telling me to do tshuva, I'm a lost cause, right? It has to be Meireshito, from the start. Amalei, my Havidarish Tuvan, so okay, let's move on to the next thing. So Amalei, Tov Acharit Davar Meireshito. Okay, Tov Acharit Davar Meireshito, from Kohelet, and he says, Amalei, Umay Pathlebe, Amalei Ladam Sholid Banim Binaruto, Umeitu, Sakunto, Vikaimu, Vitov Acharit Davar Meireshito. Ladam Shatsas, Farabi Aldutov, Vsir, Sakunto, Ministaker, Vitov Acharit Davar Meireshito. Ladam Shalmad Torah Binauro, Binaruto, rather, Vishacha, Vitkunto, Vikima. So Hevei Tov Acharit Davar Meireshito. Again, Rabbi Meir is saying, okay, you can have had failures in your youth, but then you try again in your old age and you can be successful. Amar Vay Demovdim Lo Mishkachin Akiv Rabach Lo Havi Darish Kein Ela Tov Acharit Davar Meireshito Bizman Shehu Tov Meireshito. It has to be good from the beginning. By the way, part of the way in which you see that this is a polemical discussion, it's not stam, they're just, you know, like, okay, what pshat did Rabbi Meir say, what pshat did Rabbi Kiva say? If you look in Kohelet Rabbah, and if you look in the Gemara in Yevamot, the very famous Gemara in Yevamot, not for right now, but you see that what Rabbi Meir says here, the interpretation of Rabbi Meir, is actually very consistent with what Rabbi Akiva says in those sources. But in any case, the point is that they're debating not really about Pshat and the Psukim so much as the destiny, the fate of Elisha ben Avuya. Is there still hope? Is there not? So he goes on to say the following. Uvi hayamasa. So if it wasn't clear until now, which it should be, but if it wasn't clear until now that this is all autobiographical and they're really talking about Elisha ben Avuya, here he makes it explicit. What was implicit before now becomes explicit. Uvi hayamasa. Right? I'm the case in point. Avuya Abba, my father Avuya. That's why it's called Elisha ben Avuya, right? So Avuya Abba, my father Avuya, Migdoli Yushalayim Haya. Okay? He was one of the big shots of Yushalayim. He was this rich, powerful person. Biyom Shabbat Lamo'aleni. Okay? When he came time for my Brit Milah, Lamo'aleni, right? Recognize the word Mohel, I hope, in this word, right? Everyone see? Okay, Lamo'aleni to circumcise me. Okay, kara l'chol gidolei Yerushalayim. So he called all the important people of Yerushalayim. Different definitions of what gidolei Yerushalayim means, but in other words, he's talking about gidolei Yerushalayim, and you know, people who were rich and famous, whatever, or important or significant in whatever sense. Lav davka. This is Elisha ben Avuya telling his own story. Okay, he's flashing back to the beginning of his life, and he says that what happened. All anyone who was anybody in Yerushalayim was invited to my bris. And Voshivim Bayit Echad, all these people, all these, you know, the rich and famous were put in one house. Ul Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua Bayit Acher. And Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua, who were important in a different way, in terms of Torah, they were put in a different house. What happened? Min da'achlun v'shatun, as they were eating and drinking, sharon tapchen mrakten, they started to, you know, to dance and to party. Amar Rabbi Eliezer to Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Yeshua, ad de'inon asikin bididon, while they're doing their thing, they're involved in their, you know, their pursuits, nasokan bididon, let us do our thing. Biashvu, and we have a beautiful description of learning here. It's like, I think, one of the classics. Biashvu min itasku b'divrei Torah, min haTorah l'neviim, u'min haNeviim l'ketuvim. It's such a... It's what it is. They were going from Chumash to Navi, Navi to Ketuvim, and else they were putting the pieces together, right? They were connecting the dots, they were putting together different pieces. The relationship between these different parts of Torah, they were putting it all back together, putting the puzzle together. V'yarda esh min hashamayim, and a fire comes down from heaven. V'kifa otam, it surrounds them. So Avuya sees the fire, and Amar len Avuya, Rabotai, ma batim l'strove et beiti, right? Rabotai, what are you doing? You're coming to burn down my house, right? L'strove et beiti alai. Amru lo, so Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua respond, Chas v'shalom, el yoshvim hayinu v'chotrim divrei Torah min haTorah l'neviim, neviim l'ketuvim. Okay, it was as sameach as when the Torah was given. As it says, we're saying we were recovering the original splendor of Torah, like when it was originally given. We were going from the Psukim in Chumash, connecting it to Navi, connecting that to Ketuvim, putting it all together, till we got to what it's really about, and it was like Mamad Har Sinai, and that's why you saw this tremendous fire. Amar lehen Avuya Abba, Rabotai, im kachi kocha shel Torah, if Torah has this power, im kaim li ben hazeh, if this son lives, then le Torah ani mafrisho, I'm going to set him aside for Torah. Continues or concludes Elisha ben Avuya, Lefi shelo haita kavanato l'shem shamayim, lefichach lo nitkaimu ba'oto ish, referring to himself. Meaning, since my father's intentions in sending me to learn Torah were not l'shem shamayim, therefore it didn't work out with me. Okay, that's what Elisha ben Avuya says. Okay, so they're not l'shem shamayim because what... And let me do one more piece, and then you'll understand better why it's not L'Shem Shamayim. In number seven, it tells a story which also we know from the Bavli as well, the story of how he sees, and again, there are different explanations, but I'm going to focus on just one of them for the moment. He sees this boy who's sent by his parents to go and do Shiluach HaKein, basically, to go get some eggs, and he goes and he does Shiluach HaKein along the way. He does the two mitzvot where the Torah says, L'man Yeruchon Yamecha, they give you long life, and the child falls down and gets killed. And he says, Zo Torah, Zo Schara, and he leaves Torah. That is very much connected with this statement that we just read. Okay, it gives us to understand what's going on. Elisha ben Avuya's expectation and his orientation from the start was that the point of Torah is that there are practical benefits in learning Torah. Right, there are things that you get out of it. Right, that's Avuya's expectation from the beginning. What did he say? He said, "Wow, you sit here and learn Torah, and what's the greatness of Torah?" As far as Avuya is concerned, you see, you learn Torah and you're surrounded by it, you bring down this great fire, right? Meaning that, look at how you sit and learn and people go like, wow, that's so awesome, look what, as opposed to understanding what Torah is really about, which is the way that it affects us, the way it gives us the opportunity to understand the wisdom of Hashem, the way that it allows us to become better people, better Jews, to have a relationship with Hashem. And therefore, because it's shelo lishma, because it's for ulterior motives, because it's and there's an expectation. So as soon as he sees, right, that it doesn't pay off in that sense, right, in the ulterior sense, in the external sense that he had expected and that he had been brought up with, so he leaves it. Okay, and they're really two parts of the same thing. Not what we're going to focus on, but anyhow, it's an important point nonetheless. Okay. So we continue a little bit. Number five. Amalei, you might have a darish tuvan. What else were you darish? Amalei, lo yarchena zahav uschuchit. Ah, this is critical. This piece is the crux. Number five. Follow carefully. Lo yarchena zahav uschuchit. Gold and crystal does not compare in value to Torah. Amalei, my patrebe. The pasuk. But Rabbi Meir was being dorish that pasuk. So Elisha Mevuri says, "Umay patrebei." So right, what do you say about it? Amalei divrei Torah kashin liknot kiklei zav. There Torah is hard to acquire like objects of gold. V'nochim laabed kiklei zchuchet, and they are as easy to lose as crystal. Meaning, it's very hard to acquire. It's very hard to become a talmid chacham. It's very easy to lose it. Continues Rabbi Meir. Listen carefully to this. Uma klei zahav uklei zchuchet im nishtabru yachol hu lachzor v'lasotem kelim kemo shahayu. Just like gold and crystal, you can reconstruct them. You can reconstitute them. It's possible to recreate them and make them like they were, like new. Av talmid chacham sheshachach talmudo yachol lachzor ulamdo kitchila. So talmid chacham also lost his Torah, he can regain it. So at that point, Rabbi Meir says that as part of his interpretation. Amalei, so Elisha Mevuya says, Dayach Meir, that's enough, Rabbi Meir. Ad kan tchum Shabbat. Okay, and we're going to pause here for a moment to point out a few things. So first of all, obviously, Elisha Mevuya is not just telling him, you know, giving him a little course in Hilchot Shabbat. He's telling him, what does he really mean, Dayach Meir? Right, like, enough, right? Okay, that's enough pushing your, you know, I got the point, you're telling me that Talmud Chacham lost his learning, can regain it, I understand what you're trying to tell me, leave me alone, lay off, right? Dayach Meir, it's enough. Now, before we go any further, I just want to point out something that I think is the key to the whole Yerushalmi, at least what we're going to discuss about it, but really the key to the whole Yerushalmi. So often, whether it's in the words of Chazal or Rishonim, the most important points are just beneath the surface. And you have to ask the right questions. You have to think about it. What are the implications? What are the assumptions? That which is being said explicitly, what is it based on? What do you have to think or be thinking in order to say that? Right? And sometimes those underlying assumptions are the most important. That which is not said explicitly is the most important thing that exists in a particular source or text. And that's the case here as well. There's something that is clearly here once you think about it, but it's not in the words per se. You need to think about it first. So let's think for a moment, okay? This is as far as we're going to be able to get today, but let's think for a moment. We have to ask ourselves the right question. How do you reconstitute broken glass, crystal, or gold? What do you do to it? What process do you use? What medium do you use? Okay, so what do you need to use?
Fire.
You need to use fire. Okay. And although the Yerushalmi does not mention explicitly fire in this discussion, but once you realize it, once you think about it, it's very clear that it's there, right? It's not subject to... We know that's how you do it, but it's not mentioned explicitly. But now that we've thought about it and we've articulated it, let's realize that that's very, very significant. Why is it significant that the medium that you use is fire? Okay, and I'm going to go a step further. Because it just talked about Torah and fire, which is true, but there's just a little bit more we have to add. If you look at the story of Elisha ben Avuya and the Yerushalmi, We find fire when? We find fire. Not just that, but when Elisha ben Avuya is born, right? The beginning of his life, right? The story of his bris, right? He's 8 days old. He's just born. He's a newborn. And you have the fire. The end of his life, when he's buried, where's there on his grave? Get up to this, the end of the story. Very end. Right? There's this fire on his grave as well. Right? The beginning, the end, both end points of his life are marked off by fire. And here we see in the middle, in the discussion and debate, in the struggle as to whether or not he's going, you know, what path he's going to choose that's going to finally define him forever, the ultimate choice in terms of what destiny he's going to pick for his life, what does it depend on again? Depends on fire, right? Depends on fire. The beginning, the middle, and the end all revolve around fire. And it's hard to imagine that that's pure coincidence. I think that's clearly a key dimension of what the Yerushalmi is telling us, and that I haven't explained it yet. That, Ezra Hashem, we will discuss what it means next time, but I want to just point out that this is what we need to be thinking about. Right? In other words, how there's this thread that runs through the entire story of the life of Elisha ben Avuya. It's clearly of central importance. We then have to understand why it's important to connect these different, these things are connected, and what way they're connected, and what that's telling us. Okay, so we are out of time, essentially, but we will continue Be'ezrat Hashem next week, I guess. And everyone a good day, and a Shabbat Shalom.